It's a trap!
Hello and welcome to episode number 147 of Radio TCX,
your weekly source for X-Wing news and strategy.
I'm Tim Dugan.
And I'm Carson Ray.
And we are coming back from a long holiday break. We both got some time off from X-Wing. Well, I played some X-Wing while I was having time off, but we both took some nice time off for the holidays. I enjoyed that time, but we're back with some more great X-Wing stuff coming out.
Yeah, it was a good holiday. We watched some great films.
Yeah, we definitely
did.
We're
ready to play some X-Wing.
Yeah, so for this week's episode, we're actually going to be picking up, now that we have the Resistance and the First Order out, we're going to pick up with another one of our top five pilot episodes. This week, we're going to focus on the Resistance faction and what are our current top five pilots. I know it's a little bit early on, but we've already formed some pretty strong opinions about these ships.
Yeah, I mean, I know we just talked about the Resistance a few episodes ago, but Tim and I are just both very excited about this faction and want to talk about it again.
Yeah, so I guess we shouldn't wait any longer. We've had enough of a break over the last couple weeks, so let's get into it. Our top five Resistance pilots. All right, so now that the Resistance is officially out, I think when we recorded our last actual episode about X-Wing content, the Resistance was just about to launch. I think it was that weekend. So now we actually have these ships out on the table. You can see them at tournaments. You can fly them yourself. And we've already seen a lot of the tricks that the Resistance are bringing to X-Wing.
Right. I mean, we're going to be talking about a lot of the same pilots that we talked about before. Because, well, there's not that many pilots for the Resistance.
Right.
So because the Resistance is not that big of a faction, most of the pilots that we talked about before, we're going to talk about again today. But now we've played some games with the Resistance, and I think we're making more informed decisions about why we like these pilots.
Well, and I think we can approach it with a little bit more specificity, where before we were talking kind of generalities, because obviously we hadn't gotten much experience with these ships. Now that we've actually seen them in play and played against a lot of them, we've seen a little bit more of what they can do, and we can actually approach it more so that we can say specifically what these ships are bringing to X-Wing.
Well, and I just want to say that I was a little skeptical about the Resistance. There's a lot of factions. It's hard to be excited about all of them. After playing a few games with the Resistance, this has quickly become one of my favorite factions.
Yeah, I think one thing that the Resistance broadly brings to X-Wing is that it really fulfills that promise of kind of the ace faction, where you're going to be flying with a lot of named pilots, you're going to be flying with a lot of high initiative pilots, and you're going to go less for that kind of traditional rebel synergy thing. You've got a lot more hot shots here who all kind of bring their own skills and work really well on their own, but they also combine pretty well with the other ships. So you can have these kind of multifaceted strategies that are not totally interdependent on making sure certain ships stay alive. So far from what I can tell, all the Resistance ships in general function very much if they're left as the last ship in your game, which is a great place to be for that closing game when you've only got one ship left and you're not necessarily going to get to decide which of your ships you're bringing gets to be that last ship.
Right. And so while there's not that many choices on ships and pilots in general, really, they're all pretty great. But today we're talking about just the best of the best. So let's get on to our number five Resistance pilot.
So our number five pick coming in at, you know, the bottom of the list, but still a very strong choice, is the only character that's bringing the Force to the Resistance faction so far.
Right. So the Rey pilot in the scavenged YT-1300 comes in at number five here for the Resistance. At, you know, a pretty hefty 80 points, you get access to that YT-1300 chassis at I-5, plus two Force charges and, in my opinion, one of the best Force user pilot abilities.
Yeah, Rey's got that built-in Force rating of 2 with the pilot ability. While you defend or perform an attack, if the enemy ship is in your forward firing arc, you may spend one Force charge to change one of your blank results into an evade or a hit result.
I mean, and so this is an amazing ability because no matter what your die roll, you're always going to be able to spend some Force charges to change that into the roll you want.
And we talked about this in our last episode of the Resistance, but having that basically guaranteed modification, barring you rolling all hits and crits, which is also a great outcome, that's a really reliable ability. So even though she's a pretty expensive platform, just having the Force rating is great. And then having a really reliable way to use those is also one of the better investments you can put in with your points.
Right. I mean, so with that ability, you know, to guarantee results on a roll, you know, at least once per turn, because you're getting one of those force charges back a turn. Makes her a very good 1v1 ship. You know, as long as you're not going up against a dash that can shoot twice, Rey's going to excel pretty well at either mitigating damage coming at her or, you know, guaranteeing a solid attack on your opponent.
And you have some pretty decent crew and gunnery options for Rey. You've got gunner cards like Finn, who pairs really well, which makes sense thematically. Finn's ability, currently 10 points. While you defend or perform a primary attack, if the enemy ship is in your forward firing arc, you may add one blank result to your roll. This die can be rerolled or otherwise modified. This obviously pairs really well with Rey's force rating and force-based pilot ability, where once Finn adds that blank result, Rey can spend a force charge to immediately convert it into a hit. Otherwise, you could spend something like a target rock or other reroll ability to also reroll that blank result and get it into something usable.
See, now that's interesting, because I actually think that Finn alone on Rey does not provide a meaningful upgrade to Rey. I think you're going to roll enough blank results naturally that you're not going to have force charges to modify that blank that Finn is providing. But I think once you also take the Rose crew card and pair it with Finn, then you start getting some real value. Yes, that's a substantial points investment, but then now you're getting rerolls naturally so that you don't have to use Rey's force ability for everything.
Yeah, this is actually kind of cool. So the Rose Tycho crew card comes in at 9 points right now. While you defend or perform a primary attack, you may spend one of your ship's results to acquire a lock on the enemy ship. So this obviously synergizes really well with Finn, like you're saying, where Finn can add the blank result, and then you can just spend the blank result to get a target lock and use that target lock to modify your other results.
Right, so this allows Rey to play a really interesting resource management game where Finn's providing you all these extra blank results, and you can either spend her force charges to convert them or set one of those blank results aside to get a target lock to use on a future attack roll. And you could even trigger this, you know, multiple times in a turn. You get shot at before Rey engages. Spend one of those blank evade results to get a target lock. Spend that target lock on your attack. And then if you get it shot at again, you could spend another green die result to get a target lock for the following turn. And I like this synergy because it lets you use Rey's force charges for defense and still have a consistent offense. Because I think you really need that defensive bonus that Rey's providing, because at 8 hull and 3 shields, that's just 11 hit points. So this is really not that resilient when you compare it to, you know, the Rebel Falcons. And Rey's going to be costing quite a bit. You know, 80 base plus Finn and Rose adds up pretty quickly.
Yeah, I mean, you're looking at, for a ship with just 11 hit points, yeah, it's got some pretty effective offense, but we're going into the 100-point range here with Rey if you're going to put any of these upgrade cards on her. So it's going to get it's going to become a pretty costly investment, but that still does leave you some room. You can drop in something like a pretty decent Poe Dameron there, go fully thematic with your squad. But I think Rey is still a solid option and one of the better options you're seeing in the Resistance.
Absolutely. You know, if we see, you know, say like a Luke crew card that gives you some way to get force charges back, that would be really cool. Yeah, really just any way Rey can get more force charges would be amazing.
All right, so moving on to our number 4 pick. So the Resistance faction has the T-70, and the T-70 is just on its own, pretty much across the board for all the pilots I've looked at, is a really strong platform. So having the added functionality of pilot abilities just makes this platform that much better.
Right, and this pilot's ability might not seem as powerful just at first glance, but when you compare it with all the other cards that the Resistance has to offer, it really stands out. So coming in at number 4 for the Resistance, we have Nian Nub.
Nian Nub, of course, coming in that T-70 ship, which is already a really strong platform. 3 attack dice, 2 agility, 4 hull, 3 shields, so reasonably tanky. And you have a really strong dial. You've got a 4K and then 3 talon rolls, and then a pretty good selection of blue maneuvers, the 1-2-3 straights, and then the 1-2 banks, which help you recover from those talon rolls and K-turns pretty effectively.
But what sets Nian apart from the other T-70s is, of course, his ability. After you gain a stress token, if there is an enemy ship in your forward firing arc at range 0 to 1, you may remove that stress token. So this is an I-5 T-70 with a real interesting versatility in maneuverability. You have those 3 really excellent red maneuvers, the Talon rolls and that 4K. where if you land right behind somebody, now you can clear that stress and still take an action, and you're free to use any maneuver you want the next turn as well.
And this puts Nian in a really interesting position, because coming in at initiative 5 is really important in X-Wing right now. We see a lot of the top ships coming in at that initiative, which means that bids have been really important for a lot of ships coming in at initiative 5. Where Nian is exceptional is, yes, he can still function thanks to the native boost and then the S foils option for barrel roll really well. If you have the bid, you control initiative, give it to your opponent, and you can just react to their initiative 5 ships and move after them. But Nian actually doesn't suffer too bad if you end up losing out on that initiative, because when you're moving before your opponent, that means you can more reliably trigger Nian's pilot ability, because you know where your opponent's ships are going to be when you move. That allows you to do things like 4K behind your opponent or 3 Talon next to your opponent, making sure that there'll be ships in that forward arc so you can immediately clear that stress and perform an action.
Right, and this ability gets even better when you look at the tech card Pattern Analyzer, which after you execute a red maneuver, you can perform an action. And so this comes before that stress token is dealt. So if Nian executes, you know, a 4K or Talon roll right behind somebody, you get to use Pattern Analyzer to get an action, say a focus, and then Nian's pilot ability is going to check that arc. And if you're in range, you clear that stress and you can still do your normal action for the turn. Say, get a target lock on that ship you're now right behind. So you can have focus, target lock, range 1. Pretty awesome versatility that really provides you. So Nian's a normal, you know, I-5 T-70, but then can do some really crazy tricks.
Yeah, and this makes Nian really interesting to fly, being able to get that double action, which is a pretty rare thing in X-Wing 2nd Edition, but it's very situational here, because most of the time Nian's going to function like any other stock T-70 and just get that one action a turn. But when you can set this up, though, it's really devastating, because getting the double action there means oftentimes you're getting focus and target lock, and you're already in a position probably where your opponent's going to be in front of you, and you're going to get a really strong, maybe range 1 fully modified shot. That's going to hit really hard. I can even remember the first time I heard about this ability. You're telling me about it, Carson. It didn't seem right to me, because you feel like most times when you're performing actions outside of the perform action step, you're then going to skip your perform action step for some reason, like with advanced sensors. But here, the card is very specific. Pattern Analyzer just lets you perform one before you move, assuming that you're going to have a stress after you perform the red maneuver. Nian gets around that, ignores the stress, and you still get that perform action step. It's really powerful, but you have to be in very specific situations and fly really well to make sure you get the full benefit from it.
Well, absolutely. You know, maybe it took you a little while to sink in while I was telling you, but Tim, that's a much preferable way to learn than on the table with an opposing Nian. If you're able to do that turn after turn, get focus, target lock, while constantly being behind your opponent, it's pretty powerful. So thanks, Ken, for that lesson firsthand.
And I think it makes Nian a really aggressive kind of scrum fighting T-70. I mean, these ships are dogfighters, but Nian doesn't mind being in an area where there's going to be lots of ships, because Nian doesn't necessarily care what ship's in front of him to clear that stress from those turnarounds. If you can just keep doing that turn after turn because you've got a little cluster of your opponent's ships in front of you, you're going to be taking really heavily modified shots anywhere. So you're happy to be in the middle of the fight.
Well, and even if you bump on that red maneuver and don't really clear it, you're still going to clear that stress because Nian's pilot ability works at range 0 as well. So yeah, you're not going to be able to shoot or get actions, but you'll clear that stress so you can try that red maneuver again next turn.
And you can pretty effectively load out Nian for kind of the mid 60 point range, which is a really great spot to be, because that leaves you room for one or two more T-70s or a couple of A-Wings. Lots of space there to fit other ships in.
All right, coming in at number 3, this might surprise some people. But we didn't want to get too trigger happy.
Yeah, this pick is probably one most people would expect to be even further up on the list, maybe even in that number 1 spot here. But there's actually several pretty great options in the Resistance, so that means Poe Dameron falls into our number 3 slot.
Yeah, that trigger happy flyboy at initiative 6 with, you know, the phenomenal pilot ability of push the limit.
Basically.
For you 2nd edition players. That is, you know, after you perform a white action, you may perform another white action, treating it as a red action.
Yeah, Poe has one charge, so he can only do this once per round, but that's enough typically. It's uncommon in second edition to get multiple actions in a turn, and it's really uncommon to get a lot of choices when you get those two actions. Other ships that get multiple actions typically have things like auto thrusters, where they're limited to certain actions. Well, Poe's pretty much got the full range of actions available to him. And that means he's really potent.
Right. I mean, so the T-70 chassis is very great. You know, 7 hit points, you know, 3 attack, 2 agility, plus a great slew of actions, focus, target lock, boost, plus the integrated S-foils configuration gives you access to barrel rolls. So you have a lot of good choices here for Poe to double up on actions. You can leverage double repositioning with a barrel roll and a boost. But that does mean you're keeping your wings closed, so your damage output might be a little bit limited. But it's really nice to have that repositioning option available, especially in the first few turns. You know, as a player who likes to dirtle around in the beginning and see what my opponent's going to do, I really appreciate having these barrel rolls on the T-70. It makes going as slow as possible very easy.
And I think one of Poe's greatest merits is that for the amount of points you're investing, you get a pretty durable platform. Like, I'm not scared to invest a lot of points into Poe. The Poes I've been playing around with and looking at are typically around the 80-point range, give or take 6 or 7 points. And you can build a pretty inexpensive Poe that's pretty strong, or you can invest more in him, and he's going to be able to hold onto those points pretty well, just thanks to the multiple repositioning actions and a really effective offense. There are some key cards, though, I think you do want to include or consider including when you're running Poe. I think there's one that's a clear staple.
Right, and that's going to be the R4 Astromech, which lowers the difficulty of all of your speed 1 and 2 maneuvers. So for the T-70, all that's going to do is turn your 2 hard turns to blue.
But that's huge for a ship that plans on being stressed most of the time.
Right, so when I was first building Poe, I was like, is this card, you know, necessary? But then after playing Poe, really that's the only maneuver you ever set for Poe. It's just a 2 turn.
Yeah, once you get involved in the fight, that's going to be one of your more effective ways to turn around, since you're going to end most turns stressed. You're not going to have access to your talent rolls or K turns most of the time. So being able to turn around and have that boost to get you back into the fight quickly is really important for Poe. And I think that's basically a must include here. Obviously, integrated S-foils is a must include because it's free and it gives you so many options there.
You know what? But I wouldn't judge someone if they didn't take the S-foils, you know, just for the benefit of not messing up and having your S-foil on the wrong side. Just always have it open.
That's a real fine. Fear for me now.
I could respect that. But not including R4 Astromech, I'm not sure if I could handle that.
Well, and it's just 2 points, so I mean, it's such a small investment for so much benefit. I think you'd be a fool not to run it on Poe.
Right. Now, there are some other good upgrade options that aren't really necessary, but are pretty awesome. So, proton torpedoes. The T-70s have their choice of torpedo, missile, or cannon that you can put on it. And proton torpedoes, while, you know, very expensive at 9 points, is quite a powerful choice here, because going back to Poe's pilot ability, not only can he boost barrel in the same turn, but he can also focus and target lock, which is a rather rare ability in second edition.
Yeah, and I think it almost seems too obvious to run proton torpedoes on Poe, but that's just because these are really effective weapons. They are expensive at 9, but for the value you get, I think it's really nice to have that spike damage in your resistance squad, where since you're running a lot of ace ships, you might not be running that many ships. So if you only have maybe 3 guns on the board, having one of those able to hit really hard, I think, is important, especially since you're going to be able to slip some crits through with that proton torpedo.
Right. Proton torpedoes without double mods are kind of underwhelming, but when you are able to get that focus and target lock, they're pretty impactful.
One card that actually has kind of surprised me in its effectiveness across the board, not just on Poe, but it's a really great option on Poe, is Debris Gambit. Debris Gambit is one of those cards. When I looked at cards in first edition, sometimes when new cards came out, especially towards the later end, they'd have a lot of cool ideas, but they were just not that practical to use, or they were competing for slots against cards that were clearly better. Debris Gambit is one of those cards where I kind of assumed it wasn't as good as it is until I actually got to experience it. And I will say it's a really strong option, especially thanks to Poe's multi-action pilot ability.
Right, so Debris Gambit is a 2-point talent that gives you a red evade action. And reads, while you perform a red evade action, if there is an obstacle at range 0 to 1, treat the action as white instead.
And normally just a red evade action on its own isn't that great, but the fact that this is actually surprisingly easy to trigger, especially if you're being diligent in your asteroid placement or obstacle placement at the start of a game, if you spread them out just a little bit, pretty much any time I needed an evade token, I could get within range one of a debris token.
Right, and so Poe is very action hungry, and not every turn you want to focus target lock. So this gives you a nice flexible option to evade and then focus so that you can have double green tokens to protect Poe when he needs it.
Yeah, it does require that you are close to those asteroids, but like I said, it's not that hard. One thing I think is interesting about this card is you can't use it in the reverse order and take the evade as the second action, at least from what I can tell. Debris Gambit specifies the red action becomes a white action while you're performing it, whereas in order to trigger Poe's ability, you have to choose a white action as the second action. But in most cases, from what I've experienced, it's fine. You just don't have options to do things like barrel roll or boost closer to an asteroid and then take the evade.
Maybe an FAQ could clear that up for us, but yeah, the wording's a little confusing on how that interacts with Poe's ability. Still, though, it's a very solid choice. Not all ships are gaining that much by giving you another choice of an action, because you're just going to be doing that in lieu of what you can normally do. And usually a focus is pretty comparable, but getting a focus and an evade is pretty solid.
One card I'm debating about putting on Poe just because it's so expensive is Ferrosphere Paint. This is a tech upgrade that costs 6 points right now. After an enemy ship locks you, if you are not in that ship's bullseye, that ship gains one stress token.
So this is an interesting card, and you know, usually I'm all for these control effects, but 6 points is pretty expensive. So when you're assessing these control effects, you want to think about what ships you expect to see and how it's actually going to impact them. You know, who's taking these target locks? If it's just a normal ship taking one action, giving that stress is not going to be that impactful, because they got a target lock on you, so they're going to, you know, get that modified attack or fire that munition and be plenty happy taking that stress token for as a cost for that. And, you know, again, some of the ships with multiple actions, like Redline, well, yeah, now Redline got a stress token for getting a focus and a target lock, but didn't have to link into that target lock. So now Redline's just playing like any normal ship, so that's still not that great. But against opposing Poe's or anybody else who's linking into that target lock, that's where you start to get the value. So I think if you're seeing a lot of Poe's, then this Ferrosphere Paint is really good on any resistance ship.
Yeah, and I think at that point, it really puts pressure on your opponent to either play better or just kind of risk not having those extra mods for their shots. Obviously, they can avoid it by not taking the target locks there, but then they're giving up half their potential modification, and I think that would be a pretty effective way to counter other Poe Dameron's. So the last, I think, really interesting upgrade card option you can put on Poe is Heavy Laser Cannon, because thanks to that weapon's hardpoint, you have the option to throw a cannon on there, and Heavy Laser Cannon's an interesting design. It's not very expensive, comes in pretty cheap, but it's got a pretty limited application. Yes, you can roll four dice, but you can only do that in the bullseye firing arc, which at range 2 to 3 can be pretty hard to line up from time to time. But I think if any platform is going to be able to use this effectively, it's going to be the T-70 X-Wing.
Right, and so that's really through that barrel roll granted from integrated S-foils, because, you know, a boost is okay for setting up bullseye firing arc, but a barrel roll is just substantially better. And Poe, you know, with that extra action, you can barrel roll, set up that bullseye firing arc, and, you know, still get a focus or target lock for some modification. And what's nice about the integrated S-foils, yes, it reduces your attack dice, but it only reduces your primary attack dice. So you can still use that barrel roll and roll four dice with the heavy laser cannon.
Assuming you eyeballed it right and made sure that they landed in that bullseye.
Now, this is still not trivial to set up. Bullseye is still challenging. But Poe moving at I-6 with access to boost and barrel roll has kind of the best chance of anybody to make Heavy Laser Cannon worth it.
Yeah, for me, the real debate here is it's not an expensive upgrade, but when bids are really important, even at I-6, if you're competing against other Poe Damerons, that's going to be a real debate there is, do I add this extra tech on to deal some extra damage, or do I really shave those extra points off where I can just to have a stronger bid?
Yeah, and of course, that's the tough choice. But, you know, if you're cutting down a proton torpedo for a heavy laser cannon instead. Well, now you've freed up 5 points for a bid.
Altogether, though, Poe is a really strong choice, and that I think that's not surprising. He seems like one of those cards that is just obviously good and comes in at a pretty decent point cost for what you're getting. So I would expect to see him in a lot, if not most, of the resistance squads you play against.
Now, I have a question for you, Tim. If I have Ferrosphere paint on a different T-70, should I use the black and orange model for Poe or the other T-70?
The correct answer is you should have black and orange models for all of your T-70s.
But the wings don't flap on the black and orange ones. All right, moving on to our number two, Resistance Pilot.
Now, this pilot, I think, of all the pilots here, was really competing hard for that number one slot. It only just slipped into that number two slot. Building up to this episode, for a long time, this was my number one pick for the faction, but it's still an amazing option, even if it's not our number one.
Well, and when we first analyzed this pilot, I thought it was okay. It was interesting. But after putting him on the table, wow, does he overperform.
Yeah, we're talking about the RZ-2 A-Wing pilot, Lulo Lampar, who's got a really strong, incredibly fun, and kind of puzzle-like pilot ability. Lulo's ability reads, while you defend or perform a primary attack, if you are stressed, you must roll one fewer defense die or one additional attack die.
Right, so when you're stressed, your defensive shields are down, but your attack power goes all the way up.
Basically, you turn into an X-Wing.
It sort of turns you into a TIE Striker for a little bit.
So what I like about this ability is that it does add, like I said, this kind of puzzle-like mechanic. Because obviously you've got that ship ability, refined gyro stabilizers. You can rotate your mobile firing arc to the forward or rear positions only. After you perform an action, you may perform a red boost or a red rotate action. So this gives you some interesting mechanics you have to play with. You have to be aware of whenever you're stressed, your agility is going to go down, but your offense will be up. You also need to be very careful about timing that stress so that it comes in at the right situation. Obviously, if you're at range and you need the extra defense, you don't want to be stressed. You want to make sure you're not losing that extra agility die. But when you get up and close and personal, you're going to really try and make it so that you can dodge your opponent's arc, but still get that stress and shoot either out your front or rear arc so you can get those really powerful shots.
Right. And, you know, apart from reducing your agility, there really isn't much cost to getting that stress token. Because the RZ-2 A-Wing's dial is amazing. It's got 10 whole blue maneuvers. You have all of the twos, two straight, two bank, two turn, you know, everything you could expect from an A-Wing. And you have the 3, 4, and 5 straight, but you also have the 3 banks, which really gives you quite a bit of versatility in your maneuvers.
Yeah, it makes you really not afraid to either rotate that mobile firing arc or take that red boost to try and make sure you get shots as often as possible. And one thing that really makes the RZ-2 excel over the classic A-Wing is that rear firing arc. Being able to shoot out the back means you're able to keep your guns in the fight longer for a ship that normally wants to fly very quickly and occasionally has a hard time turning around, especially if it's stressed. Being able to switch to the rear firing arc and still maintain shots is really strong. You know, and honestly, having options to all these blue maneuvers gives you some crazy positioning potential. I was playing in a game yesterday where I was running Lulo, and I went from Lulo being outside of range 3 of my target, doing a 5 straight into a focus token linked to a red boost, and I got into range 1 and was able to drop 4 attack dice with a focus mod seemingly out of nowhere.
Right, and I just love, you know, when you pair it with all those great blue maneuvers and the ability to flip that arc, there's really no situation where you can't put arc on your opponent. And it works so well with Lulu's ability where you can be anywhere, so the chances that your opponents are able to have return shots on Lulo are very low, provided you select that right maneuver, which means you get to leverage that substantial firepower for an A-Wing without really the downside of that reduced defensive capabilities.
And I think the key phrase you said there was substantial firepower for an A-Wing. Obviously, a 3 attack dice shot is a good shot. It's not, like, amazing. But for how few points you're actually going to invest in Lulo, the one I'm running currently comes in at only 43 points. That's a really low, inexpensive value to get modified 3 attack dice shots.
And Tim, you're running, you know, a more expensive version of Lulo. A lot of people are just, you know, putting the 2 1-point talents on her and calling it good, just 40 points. You have a really solid role player.
Yeah, and obviously you've got those 2 talent slots on the RC2 A-Wing. A lot of great options. I think on the front end, you're going to use things like Juke. I've really been enjoying Lone Wolf, I think. Being able to use that reroll defensively or offensively is great. Obviously, Heroic, 1 point, not a huge investment, and whenever you blank out, it gives you a little bit of modification.
Well, and the more meaningful side of Heroic Trigger is on defense, and when Lulo is, you know, rolling just 2 green dice on defense, it is a lot more likely that Heroic's going to trigger.
And when I started running Lulo, I was optioning more for Juke, but what I found is my playstyle with Lulo tends to be a little bit more aggressive. So more often than not, I was taking a focus and then linking it into a red boost, or taking a booster or barrel roll and linking that into a red rotate. So the number of opportunities where I'd actually have an evade token, I preferred to have the focus and then a reroll from something like Lone Wolf.
Yeah, and I like these talents, your sort of generic all-around use talents, Juke, Lone Wolf, Heroic, perhaps Trickshot, over the bullseye talents like Predator, Crackshot, or Marksmanship, which, yeah, are very affordable. And when you're filling up 2 talent slots, that's nice. But I found I was, you know, very rarely using that forward firing arc, and was more frequently using the rear firing arc where you don't have a bullseye.
Yeah, and to that end, I think I would value those same talents like you were saying, the ones that don't depend on the bullseye, just because if you're not shooting out the rear arc with the RZ2 A-Wing, I think you're doing something wrong a lot of the time.
I think, you know, the talents are usually where you want to spend your points in upgrades, but you do have a few other options if you want to go for a more expensive Lulo. You could put a missile upgrade on there, which does give you an interesting play where you can have the mobile arc pointed to the rear and still be able to fire the missile at the front arc, so you can kind of cover both of your arcs. Right now, I'm not really sold on any of the missiles being worth it, but that is an interesting trick. And of course, there's a lot of great tech options.
We've talked about Pattern Analyzer. Maybe not my go-to here, just because you're going to be ending up stressed from refined gyro stabilizers so often that you're probably not going to be able to do the K-turn or the S-loops that much. But you do have things like Prime Thrusters, which allow you to reposition even while you're stressed. Advanced Optics actually seems okay here, being able to spend a focus token to change a blank into a hit. A lot of the time, I wasn't going to be shot at, so I didn't need to hold on to my focus token for defense, and it would have been nice to have that extra modification.
Right, Lulo's only able to really get 1 action for offensive modification, whether it's a focus or a target lock, or an evade for Juke. So having advanced optics give you a more versatile way to spend that focus token meaningfully on offense, I think is pretty good. It's whether or not it's worth the points in your list is really the question.
And obviously you could throw that Ferrosphere paint on there. I'm not convinced that's worth the cost. You're paying a lot of points for that. And this ship's already pretty low in hit points and already pretty expensive, so I don't think you need to really invest to protect it. You'll probably just end up losing those points if they choose to focus it down.
Though I will say an argument for Ferrosphere paint, I think that RZ2 A-Wing model would look pretty sweet with a Ferrosphere paint job.
True, true. All right, before we get down to our number one pick here, I'm sure you're all curious what it is. We've already gone through a lot of great pilots here. We do have a couple honorable mentions that we want to bring up for Resistance.
Yeah, of course, I want to talk about the other I-5s that didn't make the list quite. We have Elo Asti and Talison Elyntra. I think both of these pilots are very respectable choices, and they play well into that Resistance game plan of just A-style play, high initiative, both with access to boost and barrel roll. So you can really leverage outmaneuvering your opponent.
Our other honorable mention will probably be some sort of Resistance bomber, I guess. I haven't really seen any effective builds. I wouldn't be surprised if there are some. I don't think they're on a lot of people's radars right now. But I'm going to guess that at least one of those Resistance bombers probably worth the effort. I think they'll fare a little bit better when you've got some other bombing options to synergize with them.
Right. I'm a little biased here because I don't really like bombs. But I will say that, you know, having a bomber could, you know, corral your opponent's movements to help your aces get into the right position if you know where your opponent's going to be going based off the bombs you're launching.
All right, so that brings us down to the number one pick on our list, and I'm sure a lot of you are really curious what we're going to say it is. We've already gone through, I think, a lot of what people would say are the best pilots in the Resistance faction. And for our number one pick, I think we went maybe a little bit controversial.
I don't know, Tim. I think this one's a slam dunk. If you've played the Resistance, this is a very clear winner. It's where all of my Resistance builds start.
Yeah, so our big pick, our big controversial pick for our number one pilot card is an upgrade card, the Black One title.
Right. While not a pilot card, technically, This card does turn any T-70 pilot into, my opinion, the best pilot the Resistance can put on the table.
And I will admit, this is definitely a card I did not expect to be as interesting or effective as it ended up being. It is now a staple, though. Every time I run a Resistance list, I'm going to have black ones somewhere on a T-70, or I'm going to try and
cheat
and slip it on a non-T-70.
It's only 2 points. You can fit it in.
Yeah, and it's great. So the black one title is a 2-point title card for the T-70. Comes in
that reads, once per game, you win the game.
No, it's more like once per game, cancel all of your opponent's shots. So this is an upgrade card that comes with one charge. It grants you the slam action, and it reads, after you perform a slam action, lose one charge. So you're only going to be able to slam once. Then you may gain one ion token to remove one disarm token. If your charge is inactive, you cannot perform the slam action.
Right, so this gives you a one-use slam, but it gives you two very different slam options. You have the defensive slam, where you get out of trouble. Maybe all of your opponents converge on, you know, your ship who was caught out alone, and you have to, you know, two turn and then two turn again. And if you're Poe, then you can boost away even farther, and you take that no shot token. Dodge all of your opponent's arcs, get out of range, really cancel them converging on your flanking ace.
Your other option would be the more aggressive slam, where you want to use that middle part of the ability. So you can get into a position where maybe you don't have arc yet, or you want to get a closer shot, or get yourself just out of a firing arc, but to get a really good shot, you can use this aggressively. Thanks to that middle piece of language, you may gain an ion token instead of a disarm token. So you can still enable yourself to shoot after slamming, although slamming normally makes you keep that disarm token. Here you get an ion instead, so that'll limit your maneuver the next turn. But if this is a clutch turn where you really need a good shot, being able to slam into a position that your opponent is not expecting is hugely valuable.
Absolutely. I mean, it allows you to just close range incredibly fast, catch your opponent off guard. Whether or not you're closing in for a range one shot, or with Poe closing an incredible distance and still taking a target lock to fire a torpedo, quite an amazing range of options. Yeah, you're going to get that ion, so you're just going one straight and focusing next turn. But boy, can this card catch people off guard. And, you know, as long as that charge is on the black one, it's just a force that your opponent has to respect.
And Poe doesn't even care if he's stressed, because ion maneuvers are now blue maneuvers, so it'll clear anyway.
Well, and I don't even use black one in all the games I play. In the games I'm not using it, though, those are games I'm already winning and I don't need to leverage that maneuver advantage. In the games where you need it, this card is well worth the 2 points.
Yeah, I think at just 2 points, you have to include this. If you're running a T-70 in your squad, this is a must-have.
Well, and if you're playing Resistance and you don't have a T-70, I think you need to try again also.
All right, so there you have it, our top 5 picks for the Resistance. There's actually a lot of great ships here, even though the faction is pretty restricted right now.
Oh yeah, this faction is fun and it is good.
We'd love to hear, though, if you disagree with our picks, would you have chosen all pilots for the top 5 pilots? Would you have gone our route and picked an upgrade card? Please let us know on social media, either on Twitter at Radio TCX Podcast or on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio TCX.
Yeah, and if you could think of another use for the black one, you know, remove a charge, make your opponent cry a little bit, let us know. Or if you had an amazing black one play, we want to hear it.
All right, guys, so that closes out our episode for this week. It is good to be back, though. We got a new year, a lot of great X-Wing to look forward to this year. New releases, big tournaments coming up. It's going to be really exciting.
Yeah, we'll be hitting the competitive X-Wing scene at the Phoenix, Arizona System Open just the end of this month.
Yeah, that's coming up soon. Both Carson and I will be there, so if you see us, feel free to say hi. Maybe not if we're in a really intense game of X-Wing, but right after the match, come up to us. We'd love to talk to you guys. Until then, thank you guys so much for listening. If you want to follow us on social media, you can go on to facebook.com/RadioTCX and like our Facebook page.
You can follow us on Twitter at Radio TCX Podcast. I just posted some Resistance game photos on there.
And if you really enjoy the show, please go onto iTunes and leave us a 5-star review along with a comment saying what you like about the podcast and why others would be interested in listening.
And if you want to support the show directly, please consider going on to patreon.com/RadioTCX and become a supporter of the show today. It really means a lot to us.
Again, guys, thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed this episode. We'll talk to you next week, and we hope you have a happy new year.